Warning. According to the Surgeon General, women should not drink alcoholic beverages during pregnancy because of the risk of birth defects. Consumption of alcoholic beverages impairs your ability to drive a car or operate machinery and may cause you to become confused as to what liquids you should drink and liquids that you shouldn't, such as liquids with volatile sensitivity to changes in temperature and or pressure, liquids that require two mechanical seals to stay put, non-lubricating liquids that produce gases and or solids that may or may not be abrasive, liquids that are seriously goddamn sensitive to agitation, liquids that react with each other to form a solid, which is an absolute nightmare, take it from Sick Puppy, or limitlessly lubricating liquids, a nightmare at the other end of the spectrum. Take it from Spoon. And lastly, anything at all consumed by the boys at
shouldidrinkthat.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Brad.
This is the Most Reverend, Father Spoon.
Coming at you with episode 94 for shouldidrinkthat.com.
Or even if it's crap.
We drink it.
So you don't have to.
That's right, brother. How you doing?
Not too bad. You don't have me selected again, right? Are you selected?
No, we're good. I can. Yeah,
because it's
the image is flopping back and forth like it should.
Okay, good, because on my side it's not. That's why I wanted to make sure.
Yeah, we're good.
Wait, there we go. Hey, there we go. Now it's working.
For those of you confused, last time I had him selected in Google Plus, and I was just talking to myself in the video. It was weird.
But it is flip-flopping for you.
Absolutely. Good to go.
See, this is the thing that I hate with Google Hangouts, is that stuff keeps changing, and they don't tell you ahead of time.
Yeah, I mean, we've been trying to get this show up tonight for the last half hour. And
half
we've been
hour,
having
dude.
Some Google Plus technical difficulties.
48 minutes. Actually, no, hour and 18 minutes, I think.
Dear God.
They keep changing it, though. What are we supposed to do?
Yeah, we figured it out, though. Here we are.
And I got, like, dust going up my nose or something right now, so. But now I'm very thirsty.
Let's drink it away, man. Let's drink it away.
I think before we drink it away, we need to pay, I don't want to say pay respects. Pay respects to the building.
Acknowledge.
Yeah, we need to acknowledge something that's happened.
But yeah, I mean, I'm not sure the exact date, but anybody local listening or watching the show, if you could let us know. It had to have been recently, but...
Someone said last week they went by there and they saw that it was...
Oh, yeah, there was... thing posted on the site that not their site but another site that said that there would be like a viewing of everything up for sale on the 9th, so it had been before that,
so it was like a funeral.
Pretty much.
All right,
if you're wondering what the hell we're talking about, one of our local beer stores has closed down.
It has ceased to be.
One for the road is now zero for the road.
But the reason why we get choked up about this is beforehand it was Three Sons, Dogs, and Suds. And at this place, that is where Should I Drink That came into being. And we came up with a lot of ideas for shows and drank
a
lot of beer.
We've done shows from there.
Yeah, so it's sad to see it go. It's not unexpected.
No, to me it's not unexpected at all. I mean, and I don't want to get into it really on the show, but, you know, my thoughts are my thoughts on that, I guess, and I'm not going to fault them for anything, but, you know.
By a severe, we'll be more than happy to tell you what we think.
We have our opinions, let's just say that.
Didn't stand a chance.
No, and I predicted that from, you know, early on,
sadly.
I mean, they're good people, so, you know.
Hate to see it happen, but.
Right.
But, what are you going to do?
Yeah, on a lighter note, speaking of good people, did you like that segue? I didn't even mean to do that.
I like that.
That was totally by accident. What are we drinking tonight, Spoon?
I don't know. What's on your shirt?
Oh, hey. Good People Brewing Company. Birmingham, Alabama.
Because we are very musically inclined on this podcast.
Not really, no.
No.
Yes, Good People Brewing Company. In my travels, I discovered them in the wonderful state of Alabama when I was flying into Birmingham Airport. Didn't actually make it to their main location in Birmingham because, you know, I was there for work, obviously. But I'd love to see this more and more, and I have seen it a few times in my travels. I travel a lot lately, and Good People Brewing Company had a pub in the airport.
Really?
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, you know, I've seen other pubs that, you know, breweries, like craft breweries that have places in airports, but they also have the Bud Miller Coors right next to it because, you know, not everyone likes craft beer, so they have to sell. Not so much with Good People. It was all their shit and nothing else. You know, which I respect that. And the bonus for me, dude, is because I didn't get to go, you know, pack my suitcase full of Good People beers from the brewery itself. Once you're through the security checkpoint,
mm-hmm.
I can actually bring beer onto my carry-on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's yes. different.
Because it was okay. already inside the airport, so it's a trusted thing.
Okay, I gotcha.
You know, because if you buy a Pepsi or a water or any kind of drink inside the airport terminal, you're fine. You can bring it on the plane. So I got as much beer as I could actually fit in my backpack, which was only two, which is what we're doing tonight. They had an IPA there, but it was only on draft. They didn't have it in cans. And that's another thing. They were all in cans, which is so much easier to travel with. Everyone should be doing this. But I digress. The first one that we're going to do tonight is a first one I had when I was there. It's the Good People Pale Ale from the Good Ooh. People Brewing Company. Yeah, I love their logo and stuff. You know, we'll post that when we release the show.
Yay! I'm having fun with lower thirds.
Yes, you are. Wow, you're messing around big time. It's like blue and shit.
Well, hopefully if this shows up clear in the feed, then people can see what we're drinking. And I realize that I don't have very much room to move around, so I'm going to have to kill my lower thirds every once in a while. So
yeah, you're good.
I am right now. But tonight's Father Spoon shirt is, it's a Licky Licky Night.
Licky Licky Night.
From the most wonderful and beautiful human being, Mikey Mason, MikeyMason.com.
Who still owes me beer.
But he's currently hanging out with Will Wheaton.
Yeah, how sad. Just saying.
All right. So, all right.
Yeah, dude. Good People Brewing Company. It's you can find these guys at goodpeoplebrewing.com. And like I said, I picked these beers up tonight at the Birmingham Shuttlesworth International Airport. Wow, that sounds awesome when you do that. On air.
Do you like the sound of my cans?
Ooh, I do. I do. Ha.
Ooh. Oh, wow. That smells awesome already.
Another thing I thought was cool is they also mentioned that at the airport, anyone that works there will be a certified Cicerone.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive. I would Cicerone go work
certified
just for
beer
that.
Servers, man. Yeah. That's awesome.
Ooh.
And these guys, you know, they're the typical startup brewery as of late. You know, I mean, these guys have been around since 2008, but, you know, they just want to make good beer to share with friends, and it became a business, you know. As they say, thousands of hours, hundreds of hiccups, two abandoned day jobs, and one business license later. Good People Company was born.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they sold their first keg on July 4th of 2008 in Birmingham. See,
it's a pretty looking beer. Look at that, nice head retention.
Yeah,
not
and I know
bad.
You've been digging the pale ales lately, so I figured you'd
enjoy
this.
I have, I don't
this.
Know why. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing.
Ooh, it doesn't smell that bad. It has three different hops in it, Columbus, Cascade, and Chinook.
Chinook.
There's the malt are 2 and 5, specialty malts, California ale yeast, the shrimp. 7.4.
Yeah, the SRM is 7.4, which is a super light colored beer.
And the OG 1054.
Which is about 5.8% alcohol by volume. Did you mention the IBUs? I wasn't listening.
Mm-mm.
37.8. So, I mean, for a for a pale ale, that's a little high, I would think, but not in a bad way.
Now, so here's a funny thing about IBUs. And yes. I was watching this presentation from Mr.
Gary
Oliver.
Busey?
I'll call him Mr. Oliver.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
From Brooklyn Brewing.
Yeah,
and he was going off about people doing reviews and all that stuff as usual, which is funny that someone's bitching, someone who's...
How can you bitch about people that are praising your beer for free?
Because you're an artist and you shouldn't pay attention to any of that stuff.
Oh, my God.
So the people he was bitching about is the same type of person that he is. But that's not my point.
Right, hypocrite, yeah.
He had said, he goes, you never see people that make wine or people that review wines or whatever ever talk about like the bitterness or anything else about the wine. Like, why would you bring up IBUs? Like, he's like, as he says, what's so sexy about that? What sells that? I'm like, nothing, but it's a geek factor that a lot of us like to know.
And I got two words for him. Gary Vaynerchuk.
Juicy.
What the hell?
They could be related.
There's tons of wine podcasts out there that do the same shit that all of us do, so I don't see where he's getting that. He's living in his own little world, I guess.
Because he's got that shit-eating grin on his face, like, that's right.
Yeah.
I know what's going on, and I am doing this forever.
See, I think he's one of them brewers that just, in my opinion, his ego's gone off the deep end, man.
Which, you know what? You make okay beer. I'm not saying you make anything.
It's like not great.
Whatever. But his point is, so like, if we say something like that, he's like, but who cares? Because I'm an artist and this is what I do. Some people like it, some people don't.
And he has a point there. I get that. But
to
say it the way he does.
But you're being a dick about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's being
and
a
then when he sees this,
egotistical
he say,
prick about it.
So I run one of the most popular breweries that are out there, and which is a horrible impersonation of him, but I feel like
doing it. Which makes me afford all these really ridiculous suits that I wear everywhere.
I can do them with a voice like this.
Yeah.
So I'm much more when I talk about guys like this.
You know, Sam Calagione and, you know,
at least
he's a family man,
whatever.
You know.
Drink the beer,
average
enjoy
Joe
kind
of
whatever.
Guy. Right. Exactly. I mean, look at us, man. We never, you know, tell you not to drink it. We just give you our opinions. So.
But hey, if you are Mr. Oliver and you're listening to us, you're listening to two guys who've been doing this for 7.5 years, and well, we got day jobs, which we're sticking to.
Yeah, right on.
So, power to the internet.
We are a deficit podcast. Cheers, my friend.
Which is fun.
So, what do you think of this beer, man? Swing that back around. I mean, again, it's a pale ale, so you're not expecting...
It's better, I'll put it this way.
I think it's a hoppy pale ale.
It's very hoppy. It's 37 IBU surprises me. I think it's a little bit more
mm-hmm.
because of the bite. But this is better than a lot of the other pale ales we've had recently. I agree. Especially like Roscoe's and some of those other ones.
Genesee Cream Ale, you mean?
Yeah, the Genesee Cream Ale Craft Beer Edition.
Good Lord.
But yeah, this isn't half bad.
I mean,
it's got the, how do I want to put this?
It's got the wow factor.
It's got the wow factor, guys. No, it's the thing is the aroma dies fast on this for me.
See, not for me. Maybe your nose is all plugged up.
No, I'm just drinking a lot. No, but even when I did, like, I could pick it up.
It's not prominent by any means. No,
it doesn't have to be either.
That little sniffy sniff, you know, I can smell the hops in this beer.
But it's very hoppy, and it's light-bodied, so you're not going to...
Yeah, it's not hops in your face. It's nowhere near an IPA.
The problem with a lot of pale ales that are coming out lately is that they're borderline IPAs.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And they need to tone that shit down.
Yeah.
This is a quality pale ale. Now, like I said, it was a little bit bitter, but it's more bitter than the other ones we've had recently.
Yeah.
This is how I would like my IPAs, more well crafted
overall, you know.
I almost said this is how I like my IPAs. See, now even I'm feeling that shit. Now, this is
power of suggestion right there, brother.
This is the I like this. this is how I like my pale ales.
Yeah, and you know, it's not too high in alcohol, so I would call this a session pale ale, obviously.
I don't just really like I like know my any Arthur
that aren't, honestly, but what's that?
Just like I like my B. Arthur bitter and old.
Bitter and old. Wow. And sexy.
With a nice white head.
Ew.
She's dead.
Yes, she is. And, you know, coming from, a beer coming from Alabama, too. I mean, all
these
the
guys haven't had much time to crank out.
Exactly, yeah.
I got to give them credit.
The beer laws and the homebrewing laws in Alabama were pretty crappy as of late, until recently, you know. And
yeah, they got a big push from the local government, and finally went federal, and or not federal, went up to the governor.
I mean, they have an organization called Free the Hops.
Free the Hops.
You know, yes, Free the Hops. It's kind of, you know, was a grassroots effort to get all those laws changed, and because of that, they in August 2011 they were able to actually open up a tasting room at the brewery, the Good People Tap Room, which they weren't allowed to do before because of them stupid ass laws.
Stupid.
Very dumb. Yes. I know, but it was the Free the Hops Gourmet Beer Bill in May 2009 that was loosened. That the law actually increased the limit on alcohol by volume in Alabama from 6% to
13.9%. Ooh.
Now for them, that's huge, man. Yeah.
Remember when that happened in Ohio?
Yeah. Everybody's all like getting dancing excited.
They were dancing in the street, then they realized they still couldn't get Dogfish 120.
Yeah, right on.
We still can't get that? Shit.
And then in May of 2011, they passed the Brewery Modernization Act in Alabama, which allowed the breweries to sell on premises like a brew pub, or to wholesalers, or to both. And then the last 2 years, three tap rooms have opened up in Birmingham: Avondale, Cahaba, and Good People, and two in Huntsville.
Cahaba?
Cahaba, not Catawba, like we reviewed earlier, yeah.
Catawba.
Wow, there's one called Blue Pants and another one called Straight to Ale. I like that. And then in May of 2012, they passed, you know, with the Gourmet Bottle Bill, allowing the sale of bottles up to 25.4 ounces, the 750 mils. And that actually went into effect August of last year.
Beautiful lacing left over, too. Look at that.
Wow, look at you, man. Chugging it down.
Thirsty.
I still got a lot left.
I have kids that are going to be up in 6 hours.
Well, while I'm enjoying mine, why don't you tell the people a little bit about the history of beer in Alabama, you know, from starting way back in 1978.
That's a pretty long time ago. Do you think, were any of our fans alive in 1978?
I hope we were. I was.
We were alive.
In 1978. Oy. I was like 9 years old.
Hey, in case you didn't know, homebrewing was federally legalized in 1978 for the first time since Prohibition, which made it legal. Made it illegal. In 1919. However, regulation of alcohol is predominantly left to the states in 2013. That would be this year, unless you're listening to us in 2014 or later. Or you're in the past and you download our shows before you took your time machine. In 2013, the Mississippi and Alabama, the last two remaining states with laws against homebrewing, passed legislation to permit beer brewing at home. Alabama's law went into effect immediately after the governor signed the bill on May 9th. Chicka chicka.
Yeah, so officially all 50 states can now homebrew.
Yay!
Hallelujah!
Yay!
We're clawing our way out of Prohibition one day at a time.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Good Lord. How ridiculous is all that, huh?
It's almost as ridiculous as, you know, Pennsylvania beer laws, but...
Yeah, worse. Way worse, actually.
Oh, yeah.
way worse.
Pennsylvania's turning around.
Every state has its little quirks, but
yeah.
Ours is just privatization issues and case laws and stupidity.
Right.
I don't know. But, I mean, it all kind of pisses me off every time I travel somewhere and, you know.
Yeah, but you're getting an education of what it's like on the East Coast to hit all those states. And I'm sure people over on the West Coast have similar stories. We just have more states over here.
Yeah, ours are smaller, you know, and just more concentrated.
You know, the whole colonies thing.
Mm-hmm. I'll be heading out west soon, so I'll let you know.
But we hear from a lot of our fans that tell us, like, some of the screwed up laws that they have going on.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's, yeah, you know, it's all over the place. Unfortunately for us, like, we can't go into a 7-Eleven or any kind of those stores to buy anything, which we probably wouldn't anyways because they usually just sell Bud Coors Miller.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's more of the point of being able to do it because the state tells us we can't.
My only saving grace in all this is they would allow somebody like Total Wine to enter into Pennsylvania.
Yay, your new favorite place.
I love that. I can get in deep trouble walking into a Total Wine, man. There's one down in North Carolina here recently, and I walked out there at $100 worth of beer in about 10 minutes.
So basically, it's like if Vintage Estate
was a supermarket.
Yeah, that or if they franchised.
Yeah, right.
Like the weekend we spent $450 up there, but.
Yeah. I miss you guys, by the way. I need to go back to Vintage Estates. Phil, Sandy, whole crew, love you guys. Miss you. Be back soon, I hope. See, now I'm all depressed, man. You got me talking about Vintage Estates. I've been there forever. I'm going to cry.
Well, as Puppy is nursing that beer.
Oh, it's done, brother.
We do have something to kind of segue into that. The Octo Brew Fest 2013 will be coming up shortly.
Absolutely.
The event will be indoors at the Shepherd Event Center in Boardman, Ohio, which, if you're familiar with the Big Tap-In.
Shepherd Event Center, I love that place.
That's where it was at before, and now that's where the Octo Brew Fest is. So far, they have 27 firkins confirmed.
What's the date on that?
September 21st.
Wonder where I'll be September 21st.
Boardman, Ohio should be the answer.
I know. I have to check my schedule now that I'm a, you know, traveling Wilbury.
And of course, this event benefits the Making Kids Count, a nonprofit local 501c3 that makes the lives of children in their valley a little bit happier.
Yeah. If I remember right, that organization like helps out kids in like with school supplies and gear and things like that, right?
Well, so here's the cool thing. Here's what you get with it. You get firkins. Can't beat firkins.
Oh, you don't actually get firkins. You get what's inside the firkins.
Yeah, you get to drink the firkins. You get frankfurters because, well, you do. It's
firkins like, franks.
Exactly. There's farmer's food.
Ah, see, local. There's a local aspect.
Going local. And there will also be a lot of fall seasonals. So you can come and taste a little German harvest and pumpkin beers as well as, yeah, that's right. They said pumpkin.
They did say pumpkin.
You know, which have been around since July this year. Don't get me started on that.
I know, what the hell, dude. It's starting to be like Walmart at Christmas time. All the friggin' beers coming out 3 months before the season starts.
But if you want to find out more information, go to octobrewfest.com or check out shouldidrinkthat.com. We've got the links.
Yeah, buddy. I'm going to try and make it this year. I have to check my schedule, though.
But, dude, they're going to have a firkin of Bell's Two Hearted, which I would love to try that on a firkin. Hoppin' Frog's Oktoberfest, froggy style.
I would take anything from Hoppin' Frog and a firkin. That's awesome.
And one of my favorites, Heavy Seas Loose Cannon IPA is going to be on firkin.
See, I don't know. I'm not a fan of IPAs and a firkin.
That's my beer. Now, Sick Puppy, they're bringing back, which is one of our favorites.
Ooh.
From Willoughby.
The peanut butter porter?
Peanut butter coffee porter.
Yeah, buddy.
That will be interesting. Sam Adams is also going to have like a special. The variety pack that we saw today, the fall seasonal pack.
Oh, yeah, the fall seasonal. Yeah, right, right. Yeah,
they're going to have that there.
Huh.
So it's going to be a good time. Well, New Holland's going to be there too. Oh my god, Dragon's Milk Bourbon Barrel Stout on Firkin.
Dragon's Milk on cask? On a Firkin, I mean?
Yep.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So there you go.
How much is that, by the way, do they say?
Tickets are $58.
You know.
But it's for 4 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a charity event, so.
Yeah, it's absolutely worth it. It's from 1 till 5.
It's to help the kids, man.
It is. So go check that out. They're also hosting, I did want to bring up, they're also hosting a Steinhoist competition.
Every year I want to join that, dude. I think I'd do well at that.
It's all upper body, because you just basically got to pull it like this.
I think I'd be good.
I've got a screwed up shoulder here from softball.
Excuses.
And I'm old. I'm not as old as him, but.
I've been hoisting beers for a long time, man. I should be pretty good at that. That's all beer hoisting muscles right there.
All right. Let's do the next one. Hey, this one's named after you.
I know. It's got brown right on it. You like that?
Ever since you came out.
Brown is. I actually feel a lot better about that, by the way. I'm going to miss the puppy, but, you know, things change. The more things change, the more they stay the same. That was a Cinderella song, you old bastard. Am I the only one who knows that reference? Dear God.
I know Cinderella. I'm just looking at you funny, like, really? Cinderella?
I know, dude.
Especially since Brent Michaels is headlining the Erie Days Festival right now, like tonight. Oh, right now, as we speak, he's singing.
Shoot me in the face. Oh, I love that noise. And this is another one from Good People Brewing Company.
It's brown ale.
It's the brown ale.
Wait, okay, I had to make sure I opened the right one.
This is the only other Good People one we have, so.
Well, I know, but there's other beers tonight.
Yes.
Oh, this actually is pouring like a birch beer.
Yeah, this is not one of my favorite styles. However, I'll let you be the judge because I already had this beer at the airport. I'll get your take on it first.
It's pouring like Coke.
Yeah, it's got a real deep caramel color to it. It's very nice.
It's 5.4%. 31
Another kind of beer, right?
Columbus, Willamette, and Cascade.
Indeed.
Not bad.
Yeah, pale it's malt, a pale
six
malt.
Six specialty malts, British ale yeast, OG 1061.
Which is 5.4%.
Shrimp, 18.5. A little sweet on the nose.
Yeah, I get that nuttiness on the aroma right off the bat.
It's a tad bit nutty.
This is the mildest offering in their lineup, according to them.
I don't know about this one.
Well, to me, it's a brown ale, so I don't know about any brown ales. To me, though,
tastes a little rusty.
Yeah. I think a lot of that you're getting do you almost get like a little sourness to it, like nuttiness? That has a lot to do with the British ale yeast.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it. I mean, would I drink a lot of these? Probably not, because I'm just not a fan of brown ales overall. But it's well represented as the style, you know. Maybe even a little more so.
I like the malt.
I think you're a fan of those nutty, you know, beers. You know, that with that little hint of that nutty flavor, I think you'll really enjoy this one.
Yeah, this is.
You on the fence on this one?
I am. It's not bad. I'm just trying to think of. I don't know if I'd order this again.
I would, but not one after the other.
If I had my choice, I'd take the pale ale over this one.
Yeah, but we're talking about two different styles here.
Yeah, I'm just saying between the two.
Right.
If I opened up a cooler and I saw that there, I would take
the pale
ale over this one.
Absolutely. But I think if you're a fan of brown ales, I think you'd really enjoy this one. I really do. Because it just has that. You know, it's brewed to style almost, you know, that kind of thing.
Is it's something got beeping their take on your on. Side?
What's that?
Is something beeping on your side?
Not at all. Sir Carbon Monoxide tester going off, detector going off.
Oh, shit.
you definitely hear that. Those things are loud. I was just kidding.
No, it's well in the bat. No, I just changed the batteries in that recently.
Yeah, you'd be fine.
Oh, there it goes again.
Yeah, that's not me. You're hearing shit. But yeah, as a brown ale, I think it's just that much different outside of the style that I do like it. But I wouldn't flock to this one for sure. And again, it's nothing against the beer. It's just not a style I enjoy heavily.
It is on your side because it's in this year with the headpiece in, and it's not out here.
Nope.
You have headphones on. You don't hear it.
Dude, there's nothing. Yeah, you're on crack.
Damn.
I think this beer's making Father Spoon trippy.
Could happen. Wouldn't be the first time. Definitely not the last.
I had an APC backup here in this room, but that thing's long since dead, so it hasn't. It's gone, so it wouldn't be that thing beeping. I think you're hearing things. I think you're hearing things.
When we go back through and edit the show, you're going to hear it and be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, definitely ain't me.
It's a good brown ale.
It's very sweet. Nutty.
Not something I would go for again, but it's good. But it's not like how I like my browns.
It's a once beer. And for me, I mean, for us, I mean, again, if you like brown ales and that brown ale style, especially if you're just getting into craft beer, I think brown ales are great because they're not too strong one way or the other.
That is gorgeous. Like,
well, I take that back. One of the upcoming beers we're going to have is way off the style, but delicious.
This is, it looks beautiful. This is. And this is something that I got in a fight with Lou Bryson over.
I
shouldn't say fight. It wasn't a fight. It was a discussion.
A friendly, heated discussion.
It wasn't even heated. Him and I were just going at it one day because we can do that. And and it was over. Should there be classifications of beers at different levels, such as this would be a good gateway beer? A gateway brown ale.
I think that's important. Yeah,
and I said you have to have that classification because if everyone was the same, no one would try to be better.
Exactly.
And now it's based on your own personal taste. Like, I don't think like we should say like all Stone is top shelf because it's not.
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah.
I'm like, but each person says, and he said, there you go again. Why do we have to have that? I'm like, because you do. That's how society functions. You have to have a tier system. The good, the bad, and the shitty.
We don't need a three-tier system.
We don't need a three-tier brewing system. No, not like that. But but I was telling him, like, there are beers you introduce it. Why? Because they might be a little watered down. They don't have as much flavor as another beer. Those are good starter beers. Those are gateway beers. And he's like, but why do we have to classify them? Is that why can't they be great beers? I'm like, because they're not.
Well, I think you could have defined it to him this way, is because people getting into craft beer for the first time need that distinction.
I said, well, one thing I said is you can't give somebody like a full-flavored hardcore IPA.
Yeah, I can't give them a dip and go, here's an IPA.
And then have them go, oh my god, I hate this. This is way too bitter for me, because that's not what they should be getting. They should get something like the start introducing themselves the hops and the different aromas. Not
and
like
it's hard enough as it is today. I mean, you know as well as I do, we've gotten a ton of people into craft beer because of the show, right? But it may have taken 15 different IPAs for that one person to actually go, hey, this one's not bad. I'm like, well, there you go. You like an IPA.
And that's totally cool. That happens.
Yeah, yeah. You just got to find one out there you like, man. That's all. Never give up. Never surrender. Keep drinking, damn it.
Don't give up the ship.
Yeah. Well, I haven't talked to Lou for a while since I dumped Facebook. I never hear from him anymore.
That's for him and I usually bicker at.
Yeah, I figured.
It's like good conversation because we end up getting a lot of people side with both of us.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
And it's nice to see. It's nice to have conversations like that with people who aren't like, "Well, shut the fuck up. I don't want to hear that. No, you're an asshole." Yeah. No, he's like, "Okay, I respect your stance, but here's where I come from." And I say, "Well, I respect yours, but here's
with
where
him,
I come from."
With him, at least it's an intelligent discussion, not a bitch slap. Yeah.
Yeah, and I get where he wants. He doesn't want to have people
saying, "He has no ego involved. Just an educated opinion."
Yeah, he's like, I don't want people going, "Well, I make the top shelf IPAs and brown ales and session beers." Well, no, it's my point is we shouldn't have that, but people should have their own like levels.
Right, and I think a good extension to that discussion would be, all these people that are coming up these little nano breweries lately, not just around the Pittsburgh area, but all over the U.S. I was just down in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and was that?
Did they buy the book on how to open a nano brewery for $10,000?
Hell no. But I was down at Foothills Brewing Company. And they were saying, the craft beer is exploding down there in the Winston-Salem area, which is great. But, then they're saying, well, there's this guy, this nano brewery brewing out of his garage. And, we're seeing a lot out of here as well. But now where do you draw that line? Where is it, especially me as a home brewer, I've been making good beers for 20-some years, and some bad ones, so I'm not going to lie.
That's based on opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. That's my point. So, should you think less of that person because he's just a home brewer with a license? Or should you only drink, the beers from the bigger craft brewers because they are the bigger craft brewers? That's a tough call, man. I think what's going to happen, just like, I hate to say this, just like one for the road, the people will decide. If nobody shows up to drink your beer, then evidently, you're doing something wrong. But, I've been to other places where I don't like their beers, but they're still kicking, still in business, and growing. So, because I don't like it doesn't mean their beers suck.
Yeah, it's just
this somebody likes it, so more power to them. So,
The thing is, if every craft beer podcast, VidCast review show had the same opinion, nobody would watch them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, they'd watch ours because we're dead sexy. When it comes to doing
absolutely, beer. Yeah, definitely, man.
And the fact we've been doing it for so long now, we're the old people.
Here we are. Well, I've always been the old person in this whole environment. But, I want to hear from our listeners. What's opened up in your area that as a nano brewery or a little microbrewery that you think that they shouldn't be brewing at all, or it's the most fantastic beer you ever had. Let us know, man. And if they are good, we'll get in touch with them and review some of their beers even. I'd love to do that.
And if you want to do that, two ways to do it. Go to facebook.com/shouldidrinkthat, or go to – the best way to put it is go to our website and click on the Google Plus link.
Yeah.
Google Plus doesn't have custom URLs yet.
Or Twitter. Or Facebook.
At SIDT.
That's right.
And I do want to thank the people from the good people at Good People.
Good people at Good People.
Because now with this pale ale, I have unlocked the Pale as Moon level 4 badge on Untappd.
There you go.
There we go.
And I'm still getting invites for Untappd. I apologize. I'm not going to be your friend because I haven't used that app at all, and I absolutely hate it. But we've had that discussion before.
We have, and I'm thirsty. So let's get to the next one.
Oh, look at you.
Well, we're bullshitting a lot tonight too, so.
Yeah, we are. Well, that was kind of an educated rant right there. I'm okay with that.
The other thing though too is I didn't start the timer when we started doing this, so I don't know where we're at with the show. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, we're rocking.
Rocking and rolling.
We do have one viewer right now.
Hey, thank you for joining in.
Hey, one viewer, how you doing?
Welcome to the 7.5-year-old history of Should I Drink That?
Now, Spoon.
We're drinking beer tonight.
What I don't want you to do is judge the last brown ale we just had with the next one.
Okay.
I only say that because they're two different animals. So, you can't really – and that's another great point is there's so many breweries out there that kind of do their own thing with that certain style. So how do you compare? Again, if everybody did the BJCP style guideline everybody making the same damn beer. So to judge one brown against another is probably not a good idea unless it's from the same brewery.
Unless you're going into competition, fuck the BJCP.
Right, and even the competitions to me are a little silly. It's just a bunch of people giving their opinion of a beer.
And, well, yeah. Yeah, and that's how those things work. But I mean, for homebrewers, that's how they find out about like what's good or bad about their beer. But also the problem with a lot of the smaller ones is if you have somebody having a bad day or someone's hungover from the night before, they can say this beer is shit. And they're like, all right, well, fuck, I'm not going to enter another contest if this guy thinks my beer is shit.
To me, it's a bit silly, but and I get why people do it.
It's a tad bit pedantic, but...
It's a tad pedantic, but you've got great beers. I wonder if anybody is going to get that reference when this show comes out.
I actually used that the other night. and the guy looked at me and said, what the hell is pedantic, mate?
I got to look up pedantic.
I'm like, you got an iPhone.
That's hilarious.
Okay. All right. So we're doing this one?
Absolutely. And yeah, I love that noise. I love this beer, dude. Love, love, love this beer. I'm going to say it right now. I love this beer.
You love this brown ale?
My review is over. I love this beer.
Well, I'm glad you drank it.
I've been gone to the lovely state of Florida back and forth now for a while for work.
Is this how you did it? This is fantastic.
Absolutely.
Fucking Kreskin over here.
And this is one of my favorite of this style. I mean, it's just an amazing beer. And I guess I should save this point until later, until we introduce the damn beer, but for those of you watching, you're watching me pour it into my glass, so there's no mystery there now. For the audio people, though, ha-ha. We have another beer, and we've done a beer from this brewery in one of our past shows. We did the High Lie from them. This is Cigar City Brewing Company. It's cigarcitybrewing.com. But they're based out of Tampa, you know. Cuban cigars, the whole cigar history out of Tampa. So they're a small little brewery, about 15 barrels. One barrel's 31 gallons, by the way. Just geeking out there. And they got a little brew house. It's about 6,600 square feet in the Carver City, Lincoln Gardens neighborhood of Tampa. 19 fermenters, 6 15 barrel, 10 30 barrel, and 3 60 barrel. But, they've been around for a while, and they got a great reputation. And they love their cigars, hence, you know, the name.
Well, that makes sense.
But anyway.
I've heard a lot of good things about Cigar City.
Oh, and I'm at that point where I've been going to Florida so much. I'm like, yeah, Cigar City, yay. Because I drink it down there all the time, so I'm kind of getting used to it. Doesn't have that wow factor like it used to, but again, not to take away from them because they're an amazing brewery, but you know how you like settle into a beer brand, the first you're all geeky and freaking out about it, and then it becomes the norm?
Yeah.
And that kind of thing, but we are doing the Cigar City Maduro Brown Ale. This beer is amazing. If you're a cigar smoker, I highly recommend getting this beer and pairing it with a good cigar. The flavor of this brown ale with a cigar, they did this absolutely right. I mean, Maduro is a cigar.
Oh, my God, this is good.
Oh, my, huh? Is that not a good beer or what? For you know a brown ale, it's freaking amazing.
And first of all, happy birthday to Mr. Derby.
Happy birthday, Mr. Derby.
From the Strom-Hulsman podcast. Normie is, it's his birthday today.
Happy birthday, Norm. I haven't seen you for a while. So
he was having a birthday party tonight, but he is like our cigar go-to guy.
Dude, he needs this beer.
He's the guy that we have to talk to about this.
Maybe I should get him this beer because
I think you should.
He can't get it up here.
I think we need to sit down with him and Strami and talk to them about this.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, dude, every time I open one of these, like, I'll be sitting on the patio of the hotel.
That's what this would go with.
I just want to crack a beer open, light a cigar, and relax.
This would go freaking fantastic with the brisket that I made last week.
Yes, indeed.
I made a brisket. Come on in.
It's still a nice session-y brown ale. It's 5.5%. The IBUs are 25, so it's not that hoppy. But SRM 24, so it's got that, you know, deep brown color. And this one's available year-round. It's a Northern English-style brown ale with some American affectations.
That's a pretty big word.
It is, yes. I mean, it is higher in alcohol than the Comish English brown, but...
Not one that we usually use up here in the both the Mason-Dixon.
Above the Mason-Dixon.
That's what I said.
Yes. But I think the difference here is they use flaked oats in the malt bill, which gives it that silkiness. And it kind of cuts that really harsh roasted flavor.
The carbonation in this is a little weird for me, a little off.
Well, yeah, mine kind of dissipated right away, actually.
But it's, the carbonation is incredibly active with this. It's, I don't want to say it's overcarbonated, because it's not.
No, it's not. No,
but it's
absolutely not.
I think very active carbonation is the first time I've said that about a beer in a long time too. But it's you understand what I'm talking about, where it's just it's constantly. Well, see, I can't tilt my laptop into the glass right now.
Yeah.
With the, if I had like the other webcam on here, I could pick it off and show you exactly what I mean. Because this is like.
We need like a TriCaster for this, man.
We do.
We definitely do.
Let's just go to Sorg's house.
Right. I mean, it's got almost like a little bit of chocolatey note to it. It's sessionable.
Like it.
Yeah, I love this beer a lot. I mean, and actually, next time I go to Florida, I need to bring back a lot more of this. I mean, it's won two medals as of late, anyway. 2010 Best Florida Beer Championship gold medal and 2011 United States Open Beer Championship gold medal.
I'm trying to figure if I'm getting more chocolate or toffee.
Yeah, that's a little. I get a little toffee of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say, but again, it's not prominent. Those are hints. I think. I mean, not prominent. I get a lot more malt on the back end than anything else, and then the finish is a little bit of chocolate, maybe a little bit of toffee.
Now, see if you were
like chewing on a score bar.
Do I have fresh breath? I would say you have toffee breath. This I like this.
Yeah, it's
I could definitely go out.
This is my top brown ale. Again, I ain't taking away from good people.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. Cigar City brewed this with cigars in mind, so it's gonna be a lot different.
I get the velvety. It's smooth. Wow.
But it's still got a bite to it, which I really respect.
Slight out of it. Bite, but it's not much though.
No, I mean they actually. Recommend that this pairs well with a mild to medium cigar. So,
I don't know anything about cigars, so I couldn't. Yeah, I've smoked them before, but I don't know enough about them.
Do you ever listen to the Cigar Dave show on Sunday nights on 104.7 locally?
No.
Dude has a 4-hour radio show, nothing about cigars, whiskey, and beer. It's a beautiful thing. Guess where he's based out of? Tampa. The Cigar Dave Show. He's great.
You got me wondering about this beer now.
Why? How so, my friend?
I have to check the internets just to confirm this, but I think we've done this beer before.
We've done their High Life before. I know that, but...
Okay.
Hell, a revisit of this beer, I don't mind. I love it. I want to end up doing a whole Cigar City show and nothing else, but, you know...
I could. We did. Is that their only brown ale?
No. This is their signature one, their flagship brown ale.
Yeah, we did do this one.
What show was that?
The same one that we did the other.
Oh, the High Life and the brown.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
But I was thinking we did the other one though. But you know what? Coming back to this, because I'm looking at my notes for it, I'm getting the exact same thing.
Yeah, I mean.
So it's a quality beer.
Amazing beer. I kind of brought this one back because I had the Good People Brown, so I want to kind of stick with that brown theme, not realizing we've done this beer before.
I think it's funny that we drank this beer, didn't realize, and I'm looking at our notes from before, and we're having the exact same experience, so it's still...
We've drank over, like, what, 400-some beers? in our show history? Three something?
We're like around 370 or so. 375, something like that.
So, yeah, sometimes we lose track. Sue me. So but again, you know, this is another beer that I would recommend twice. So there you go.
We drank Magner's Original Irish Cider twice.
Did we?
Yeah. I'm looking at the list right now. I'm just
wow, I don't remember that at all. How long
I'm
ago
looking
was that?
At our list going, holy shit. And if you'd like to see this list, go to shouldidrinkthat.com. And at the top, there's
we should have dated that list. We have them all listed. Like, we don't have listed per episode, do we?
I could eventually. If I ever get freaking time to revamp this, yeah.
That would be funny for me to see. But, yeah, I mean, to me, this is a top-notch brown ale. And, again, it's made with cigars in mind, so it's going to be a little different than your average brown. I'm not your average brown. See what you're I did not. There?
I see what you did there. I think you need to have another beer.
I don't really want the next beer, honestly. Our fans that know us, no, I'm probably not going to like the next beer.
Now, since we are getting close to the time for the final beer of the evening.
Yes.
I don't even know how to explain this one.
What, the next beer?
Yeah. So it was kind of an impulse buy today.
It was, really.
I met up with Sick Puppy.
Who?
I met up with Brad Brown. I got to get used to doing that, too.
Yeah, everybody has to. I'm sorry.
And
Sick Puppy.
We're at the Giant Eagle in Cranberry. Not the Seven Fields one, but the Cranberry one.
Which is fucked up, because I live near three of these. Like, they're all close together, and they all have different beer on the shelves. So I have to hop around from one to the other to see what the hell's in town.
But see, here's the thing. Cranberry Giant Eagle is now going to be known as the expired store.
Yeah, they have a lot of expired beers on the shelf.
Because I saw the Perfect Crime from Stone, the collaboration, which is over a year old.
Enjoyed actually, by it is a year of 12
it,
or something.
It is a year old.
Yeah.
And they had that fresh on the supposedly fresh on the shelves.
No.
They had the Levitation, which was Best Buy May. That's still out there. There's a lot of beer with dust. Beers that shouldn't be aged are being aged.
Are being aged. I mean that's. I don't know. I mean, without the date on some of these beers, would you care?
You know what I mean? It depends.
But again, if you're going to put a date on it, yeah, I get that. Yeah. Totally with you there.
But, okay, here is the difference. And we're totally vindicated right now.
Vindicate us, man. Vindicate us.
Because we had this in the bottle.
And no, we didn't, because it only comes in a can.
No, we had this in the bottle. I'm looking at the picture right now. We had this in the bottle on June 1st of last year. So it's been over a year.
Wow, I don't remember that in a bottle at all. Wow, even that, holy shit.
Episode 82, Out of State, Out of Mind.
Was it in a bottle?
It was in a bottle.
Was it a giant bottle?
No, 12-ounce bottle.
Wow, I'm going to have to look at that again.
It's the same time that we had the Swamp Ape.
Oh, yeah.
And then also
when I first started traveling.
Yeah, and then when I brought back the Ranger and the 1554 from New Belgium.
Yeah, I don't remember that being in a bottle, though. That's odd.
Yes, it was in a bottle.
Because I've only ever seen it in cans since then.
And since our reviews have been spot on, the can and the bottle taste the same.
Tastes the same, baby. It does pair well with my Finn electronic cigarette. Dark tobacco flavor.
Dude, hey, so we're still hanging on to our one viewer.
It looks like it.
Hey, all right, thanks for sticking in.
Oh, my God. Can our one viewer chat over there? I don't even know.
I don't think so. I don't know where they're watching us from. So.
Yeah.
Because I checked our YouTube channel. I didn't see it streaming on there. So, hey, let's see what happens.
All right. Dude, next bottle's corked. At least there ain't no foil on it.
If there was foil on it, we would have a serious problem right about now.
I have a serious problem right about now.
The Funk Soul Brother.
Can any of our listeners actually predict what we're drinking next? Because I'm already thinking I'm going to hate it.
Right about now. Soul Brother, check it out.
This beer is definitely crooked. I'll say that.
This is why I need to have a mixer plugged into here so I can start playing some music.
Funk Soul Brother, kick it out now. All right, wait, you ready for the next beer, man?
My activity on Untappd is showing up on Facebook? Since when the hell did that start happening?
I don't know. I killed Facebook a long time ago. Screw them.
Son of a bitch.
Son of a... All right, you ready for the next beer, brother?
Attention, campers. This is the final beer of the evening.
See, only our old fans will even get that reference.
This is going to be bad.
I don't know. I mean, you're
going to do it with an open mind because I'm kind of into this style. So
yes, and I tell you right now, I am not at all. I'm trying. Therefore, here we are. But goddamn, and I will say this: I put this on the last of our list tonight for a reason. Because historically, if you do one of these beers at the beginning, the next three beers are going to taste like that first beer.
Palate wrecker.
Palate destroyer.
But that's not the... Oh, wait, actually, no, we're not drinking the beer called Palate.
No. Palate wrecker. Yeah, let's say.
Because there is one of those out there.
Did you hear
that? I did hear that.
Ah, dude. I don't know, man. Dun, dun, dun.
Oi.
Do you want to cork yours?
No, I'm about to.
All right. While you're on doing that, I will say our last beer of the evening is from Unita Brewing Company at unitabrewing.com. They're out of Utah. You know, the Mormon state shit. You know, they've had enough problems with alcohol laws and regulations themselves.
Wait, but this is from Utah?
Absolutely. Unita's a great brewery, actually.
Oh, my God. I have a story about Utah.
Oh, well, yeah. I was supposed to go to Utah about four times for work, but never made it.
Let's get this started.
One thing I like about Unita Brewing is they brew specifically on wind power, solar electric paneling and wind power, which I think is awesome. I mean, wind power gets a bad rap, but if you're running a brewery off of it, I think that's pretty cool. I mean, they've won a ton of medals, world-class beers, et cetera, blah, 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 blah. And they started in 1993 from a small renovated mechanics garage in Salt Lake City. And then they finally moved to a bigger place in 2001. But Unita Brewing is named after an east-west mountain range located in northeastern Utah. Many beer names are inspired by Utah's diverse landscapes or have historical significance. Cutthroat Pale Ale, Unita's flagship beer, is named after Utah's state fish. Subsequent beer names followed suit, such as King's Peak Porter, named after Utah's highest peak. Golden Spike Hefeweizen, named after the spike used to commemorate the completion of the Transcontinental Railroad in Utah. And W, named after the Utah Centennial Star. And then this kind of reflects into what we're doing tonight. In desire of creating a different experience in beer, Unita launched its Crooked line in 2010. These beers were dubbed Big Beers. And again, this is Utah, so to them, the Big Beers are a huge deal, right? Crooked line beers are packaged only in 750-milliliter bottles and corked finished, ranging about 9 to over 13% alcohol by volume. And here's what's killer spoon. The intention was that these beers would be shared as one would a bottle of wine with friends and paired with food.
We're sharing it across the internet.
We are sharing it across the internet pipeline. And the one I actually have tonight is the 20th birthday suit. It commemorates their 20th anniversary, obviously. So they made it one of their Crooked Line beers. It's the Birthday Suit Sour Brown Ale.
Mm-hmm.
Still sticking with that theme, but damn it, Spoon saw that sour ale and went, let's do that. I'm like, okay. Twist my arm.
Smells like a sour.
Does it? Fuck. You know what, though? I mean, I've had the Cantillon. It don't smell like nothing like this. So that gives me a little bit of hope. I'm hoping that when they say sour, it's subtle. I'm going to pour mine now. I should have poured this into a snifter glass, honestly, but I'm going to use my Schaefer glass. This is right in front of me. Let's
yeah,
see
this
what
is,
we got.
I'll wait for you here on this one so we can both do this at the same time. Cause it's
good carbonation on this beer, that's for sure. Now that I poured it out, see, this is why you should pour a beer into a glass and not drink it out of a bottle. The aroma is just all through the room right now. Oh, my God. This, right now, to me, it has that barley wine aroma to it. You know what I mean? Again, this is Brewed in Celebration of Unita's 20th birthday. It's an American-style sour brown ale. It flaunts significant acidity balanced by flavorful Abbey and chocolate malts and a modest amount of hops. A distinct tartness on the palate combines with notes of toffee and earthiness. There's two words I like in that little description. Distinct and notes.
Oh my God. Oh.
Is it? Oh, dude, did you try? Is it? This is why I don't like sour beers, man.
It's sour.
I think I even told Spoon this when we were like shopping around at the Market District tonight. You know, he pointed that out. I'm like, well, if you want a fucking reaction from me, we should probably drink this beer.
It's
I mean, it smells okay, but I know it's going to be sour as piss.
They are true to the sour.
Oh, God. Oh, if you're watching the video, that's classic.
Once you get past the initial of a sour, this is it's. I like it.
For me, right off the bat, it's nasty, but it's kind of subtle on the back end, so it's not as prominent as like, you know, the breweries that are known for their sours, like right. Cantillon. Those are like shoving 1,500 sweet tarts in your mouth at the same time. Horrible. To me, all you sour ale fans, shut the hell up. My opinion, I'm not with it. I don't like them.
I like this.
But this one is drinkable to me, but it's definitely going to take me a while to finish this one. It's a sipper. You know what I mean?
Well, as you're sipping this, I have to tell you my quick Utah story.
Oh yeah, please do.
And then we'll wrap this thing up quick.
Did you gain a couple of wives while you're out in Utah?
No, I wasn't in Utah. It's about it's a story about a person.
Ah.
Story about a man. So, we're wrapping up our softball season as a member of Yin's team.
Like, which is a local story about Utah?
Which Yin's team is a collection of the world's greatest social media softball players in the Pittsburgh area.
Except for Brad.
Except we drink. Well, we drink a lot. Well, they drink a lot.
Yeah, they drink a lot of PBR, from what I hear.
Yeah,
I'm not into the whole sports thing. Therefore, I'm not included.
Well, you don't have to be because there's beer drinking involved.
Yeah, but it's PBR. What the fuck would I go there for?
Because
but
the rest of it was Rivertown IPA and the other clowns drink whatever.
Right.
So we're playing this game.
Please,
we're playing this game in North Park, and we notice this guy walks out of the woods.
Wow.
It happens. The field that we play at, which we couldn't figure out why we got it so dirt cheap, is because it's also a very popular hangout for Craigslisters.
I was going to say homeless people, but...
So this guy walks out of the woods, which we've seen before, so we're like, all right, whatever. This guy, random dude walks out of the woods. And he walks into the middle of our game in the outfield and stands there. If we're like, hey, you got to move. And he's just like zoned out. Like he's on crack or something.
He's not
paying attention. So our coach is like, hey, dude, you got to move. And he's not listening. So
this tonight?
No, this is yesterday. Last night.
Oh, yesterday. I'm sorry.
So one of the guys on our team, we'll call him Frank Wainwright, says, hey, Utah, get off the fucking field. And that's where he goes, huh? Oh, okay. And he just, he walks really slow, like, across the infield as the game's going on.
Wow.
And then he sits down.
You gotta love the homeless.
He sits down next, he sits down at the bench on the opposite side and waits for Frank to come up to hit. Watches him hit, gets up and goes, okay, and leaves.
Yeah, so today, this is why drugs are bad.
So today, the battle cry was for the Utah, which we every time we got like a hit or something big, we went like this. We gave the Utah sign.
Wow.
Which is also the double loser.
Yeah, wow.
So that's our Utah story.
Nice segue there. That was weird.
So when you said that, I'm like, Utah, yeah.
Oh, it's going to take me 3 years to get through this glass of beer.
Yeah. We'll wind down here. What do you think of the other ones? We'll go offline and drink these.
Well, let's before we do that, really cool label art on this one, by the way.
I'm already in my birthday suit drinking this.
You're nice. We're on video. Remember that.
Shit.
The art was done by a local Utah artist, Travis Bone. This beer is 7.4% alcohol by volume. 20 IBUs, and God, I wish this was like 80 IBUs so it wouldn't be a sour. That's around 20. And if you're a fan of sour beers, I don't think this is a massively sour beer by any means, but it's just got enough for me to go, it's another fucking sour beer. But you got to give me credit. I'm still trying here, right? It's what we do. We drink it so you don't have to. But yeah, back to your point, Spoon. I mean, you know, we started out with the Pale Ale, which I loved. It's a great beer. I would definitely buy that one again and seek it out next time I'm down in that area. The Good People Brown, I would buy again, but not in high mass quantities. You know, if I was at the pub, I'd order one up, but I wouldn't buy a lot, a growler or whatever to take home at all. And again, just not my style of beer. And theirs is a lot more closer to the style than Cigar City's, the Medora. On that one, I would buy the shit out of it. And it's just so distinct and so different. I'm all over that beer. I love it. It probably is and always will be. I don't care what comes next. It's probably going to be my all-time favorite brown ale. Oh, and by the way, they only did this for a specific event. I don't know if they're doing it every year, but Cigar City, for you Guar fans out there, come out with Guar beer. There's a collaboration between the guys in Guar.
They have Guar beer.
Yes, Guar beer. It's for like some metal fest shit in the area. But they actually come out with they collaborated with Guar and made a Guar beer. If anybody can get their hands on that shit, I will reward you immensely if you can get me some of that. Oh, our viewer left. How sad.
Will you gladly pay them Tuesday for a hamburger today?
Ah, gee, goddamn right. If anybody wants and deserves some Guar beer, it's me. I would love to have that Guar beer. It's in cans, too, dude. But, yeah, that aside, Medora Brown, amazing beer. Great with a cigar. Love it, love it, love it. I can't say enough good things about the Medora Brown. Now, the birthday suit. Least favorite beer of the evening is this one. Really? But again, I don't like sours, so. And, you know, figures it's a giant friggin' bottle. We've got a 750 mil on this.
Yeah, we gotta sit back and drink that and savor it.
Yeah. I'm definitely gonna be a sipper, bro. But my highlight, you know, even though we've done it before, actually, you know what? I'm gonna scratch that because we've done that beer before, so I'm not gonna put it in the running. I would say my favorite beer of this particular episode is the Pale Ale. Hands down, the Pale Ale. Medora aside, because it's not fair. We've done that one before. How about you?
I like beer. It is fun. Okay.
But which one do you like more than the other?
Give me the sun. Okay. That's what I was trying to get. Like, if I could
take off, it's a beauty way to go.
Let's see. What's
your thoughts, man?
I thought the pale ale was pretty stellar. I like that. I am not going to put Cigar City in the running because we did have that before.
Yeah, it's not fair. Yeah.
So that's fine. I would honestly put the sour next, then the brown. And that's just because I've been getting in the sours more and starting to appreciate them a little bit more. The initial, like, pucker, I wasn't ready for, but...
Yeah, that's rough,
I'm dude. Sitting back drinking this, like,
and maybe
bad.
This is the one that will get me into them. I don't know. I mean, right now, I'm actually dreading taking a second drink.
Hey, life's a garden, man. Dig it.
Oh, that was horrible.
Joe Dirt.
I don't like the smell of this beer, man.
Joe Dirt would drink this.
Oh, God damn. Yeah, fuck it. I don't like this beer.
I'm
done.
Oh.
Thumbs down on this one.
I'm going to drink it.
But, again, as a home brewer, as a craft beer person, it's brewed to style. Love it. It's well done. It's just not for me. That sourness is just, it's too much for me. I can't do it.
You're not going to do it.
I ain't chugging it either, dude, so fuck that. I am not chugging this beer.
Well, that sounds like a good way to end the evening, then.
No. I'm going to continue to sip this beer like post-show, though. Maybe I'll warm up to it. I doubt it, but we'll see. But, yeah, to me it's a disappointing end to the show. I might have to get like a double IPA or something.
I like it. I'm not
taste out of my mouth.
I'm not complaining. I kind of dig it.
Yeah, again, more power to it, to each his own. The sour ales, I just don't think are for me, man.
Would I buy this again at $14.99?
No. Well, yeah, it was an anniversary beer, so you know you're overpay for that motherfucker.
But see, do you realize what's very special about this beer? That we get to share this moment together? It's because it was bottled on Valentine's Day.
No shit. Oh my God, it was.
No shit, good beer. Sorry, Flying Doc.
Yeah, good beer, no shit. You see, you said it backwards, we're okay.
Oh, we're good. Yes, so this was bottled on Valentine's Day.
Wow, that's funny.
Which isn't surprising, seeing that everything else was out of date.
Yeah. We did do a show on these guys, too. I got a whole show outside of one beer.
I have not seen this beer anywhere else in Pittsburgh, so...
Yeah, truthfully, dude, this beer's been sitting on the shelf at Market District for a long time.
And you know what?
But it ages well, so whatever.
I'm glad it was.
Yeah, I'm not.
Now, what's kind of neat is if you go to some of the smaller Giant Eagles, you will find, like, beer does sit at some of those places. That's just what happens.
Just pay attention, that's all.
And I've been hitting up a lot more of the smaller Giant Eagles because the beers that I've been looking for, they usually have, like, a ton in stock.
Right.
So when I show up and say, hey, I'm looking for it, oh, you have it. Like, oh, yeah, we have a lot of those. So especially in the South Hills, I've been hitting up a lot of the smaller ones, and they've been treating me well. So.
Well, you better, because you can't go to one for the road anymore. Not like I've been there in the last 2 years anyway.
You know what's funny is that I believe, and I could be wrong on this, but I think the first article I ever wrote for Examiner was...
Three Sons?
Three Sons turning into One for the Road and the going away party and all that. So I feel blessed knowing that the articles that I write that I barely have time to do right now and do like once a month if I'm lucky.
Dude, I've lasted for a while. I haven't written for them in like a year because they don't pay me. So
and you might want to look into that because the patch got like basically fired everybody. So.
Wow, you mean our girl's not there anymore?
Possibly not.
Let's wrap it up.
Yeah. Or should I drink that.com? This is the most reverend Father Spoon.
This is bread. It just doesn't sound the same.
We'll come up with something for you.
Yeah, this is Brad for Should I Drink That? Sour ale. I'm going to finish it, I promise you, but not good. Cheers. We out. My mouth is tasting like sweet tarts right now, and it's nasty. So We should sign off now.
Sour ales are neat.
Kill yourself.